Well, now I'm sitting here in the office and I'm listening to, I'm sorry, it's the 14th of December, 2019, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. I was sitting here in the office thinking about it because here it is, the 14th, not too many days to Christmas. And I was thinking about Christmas today as I know it, as opposed to how Christmas was back in the day. Like I put on the website, when you look at the 60s, 70s, 80s, and all that, Christmas is quite different. And as you also pointed out, I'm doing very fine with it. And I went to my computer to try to find some Christmas music to play in my bedroom and let it air through the house as I work, folding clothes, washing dishes. And I came upon this station on the internet, and it said something about Christmas music. Uh, 2019, and I went to it, and that's it, very vaguely in the background. You can barely hear it, I know. But they're not playing Christmas songs. The melodies, the first Noel, I understand that. But as they played the song, they put so much rhythmic structure in it, the words of the song have slipped away. I see how something that was a diehard belief system can slip away just by listening to Christmas music that's been redesigned by people. Do you remember the way Christmas used to be? Family coming by, gift share, food, laughter, all of that. It's still there, but there's something else that's missing. But see, you can have all the frivolities of Christmas. But if you are missing the main ingredient, what do you remember? What are your memories all about? And sometimes we just can't be afraid to say it. We can't be afraid to say it. And I'm sorry, somebody came in and asked me a question. Yes, I'm recording. All right, I got another question for you. Because some of you are afraid to tell me what your Christmas was all about. But what do you think God would want His people to recall about the Christmas event? Interesting, I was looking on Facebook and Eric Reed put an article up that was stating the sudden fall or turning away from religious things. And he put up a picture of this beautiful church and it was empty. I think that some of the traditions of Christmas, you get the old people to go by those buildings, put up the decorations. You know, they store them at the church. Everybody knows about that. Why do you think all the controversy today about Christmas and what it stands for and what it is? Why is it so difficult, so tiresome? To get to the place that we once found ourselves to be. That's for me, son. How dare you come in and take something from me?
I'm sorry, sir. You usually
do you have sorry. Any my webcast today is Contemplative Thoughts
Contemplative
of
Thoughts.
Christmas. Pull up a chair.
Sure.
Yeah, someone came into the studio.
Hello, everybody.
While
how are
I'm
you?
Doing this. And I wasn't using this outline. What are your contemplative thoughts of Christmas?
Well, if I was in a political mode, I'd be saying Christmas is, you know, all about the government making money. But then I learned the value of family and friendship. And I said, you know what? We may live in a messed up country, sold to believe by certain people's perspectives. However, why avoid an opportunity to spend time and enjoy your loved ones? And that's my thoughts nowadays.
So, he says that his contemplative thoughts of Christmas is loved ones. Why can't you think of them during other parts of the year?
I do.
Why Christmas?
I do. I just recognize a good part of Christmas being about the ability to be around your loved ones and family.
Okay.
That's all.
Being around your loved ones and your family. We're trying.
You want me to say that you want to talk about Christmas in relation to Christ and remember what Christ did for me and all that stuff? I mean, I know that every other day as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I know that every other day as well. I never denied that, you know. I think that it's used. I don't think Jesus really was born on the 25th of Christmas, you know. When you study cosmology, the sun, or something about the sun, it changes its rotation, something like that, around the 23rd or 25th, which gives reference to the idea of, you know, the sun resurrecting itself or something like that. You know, you can research that on your own time when you get the time to.
Okay.
You know, there's some revelatory things to that when it comes to Christmas.
Do you think that a lot of the people in excuse me, your generation,
my generation, okay, come on,
do they put the same? Why don't they put the religious emphasis on Christmas? Because I was just saying how that seems to be gone in the culture, gone in the
spirit is gone. You know? I can't speak about what's going on everywhere.
I ain't talking about Santa Claus because I never believed in that either. Yeah, that's a lie.
I would never talk about a man like you did. All the degrees on your wall. A man like you would never think like that.
I don't believe in Santa Claus. I know better. But I'm talking about we loved people automatically. Yeah. Now I look at this Christian season, there is no love.
Well, that
this is a time of the year when you would expect someone to treat someone with the highest respect and dignity, especially old ass people.
Yeah.
There are so many homeless old people.
Well, that was at a time perceived where the government was doing everything it quote unquote supposed to do, and everybody had.
I don't want the government to do anything for me.
May I finish, sir? May I finish?
Okay, but you know, I don't want you to make the assumption.
I'm not making
that all of us need government assistance.
No, I did not say
that. I'm not a socialist.
I'm not a communist. I'm not approving socialism.
I'm not a communist.
I'm not approving socialism or communism.
Okay, then. All right, then.
Let me make that very clear.
All right. Make it clear.
So you asked a young man to come in here and give his perspective on his generation.
Yes, but I'm letting you know that when you have a conversation, I'm going to let you do it.
But I don't want my listening audience to think that I have given in to socialist concepts.
Well, if your audience is truly your audience, I don't think they believe that. If they're listening to you now,
all right,
I don't think
ahead.
They listen to that. See, I know who I'm talking to, Mr. John Coleman. It's the John Coleman radio station.
Y'all hear that music in the background, Old Lang Syne? They played that on this internet station I'm listening to. Internet Christmas music. Yeah. That don't sound like Christmas music. It sounds like eating music in a restaurant or shopping in a supermarket.
Well, yeah. America at one point in time was religiously, from what I experienced growing up, America at one point in time, I'll say in my chili hop early childhood, was heavily influenced by Christianity, the religion, and you know, the things you heard around the different holidays and times. You know, we had an American perspective. You know, for example, Thanksgiving. You know, we had an American perspective of Thanksgiving. We talk about the Pilgrims and how they made peace with the natives. I mean, the settlers, the new arriving settlers, and the Indians, and with all that. And that wasn't the case. I just did a project at my job talking about Plymouth and the reality of how the Native Americans feel about the Pilgrims coming over. And it was nothing pretty. It was nothing peaceful about it, you know? But we're taught that Thanksgiving is something good. And it's the same kind of perspective carried with Christmas and Easter and all these things. It's our generation. We come from a generation where we're exposed to these kind of things and we look at it like BS.
Now,
that doesn't mean that the love has dissipated. That doesn't mean the love has dissipated. But we're not going to come around the family and play BS.
Oh, I got to tell you, when I was a kid in grade school, we looked in the books and they talked about Thanksgiving in Plymouth Rock. And they showed the white people dressed up in like in Dutch kind of clothes and all the natives on their knees and the white people was giving them some beads and some carrots and the natives was looking happy and I said, look what the white people did when they came over
totally
here.
Disrespectful. Trying to cater to their community to give them a positive perspective about themselves. And it's rightfully so because they are the conquering community.
There will always be a conquering community. Now that's a good subject matter for a webcast, the conquering community and this gentrification that is going on. The conquering community. Oh, hello, John. How are you? See, I'm old now, people, and I'm walking, bent over sometimes. I'm crippled. I'm hurting. And so they say, how are you? It's good to see you moving around and everything. Now, and these are white people. The black people of the neighborhood never talk to me like that. Mm-hmm. They say, what's up, man? Mm-hmm. I said, man, I'm T. Just keep on pushing. Mm-hmm. But they say, how are you? Gentrification is a lie. I don't feel Christmassy. Now, this is a Christmas song playing in the background. It doesn't sound like Christmas. The whole thing is supposed to be Christmas music. And I don't hear.
And because of the music you just played, I don't feel like that at all. It's not playing the kind
well,
of
Well, I'm saying
music.
If most of the music on the internet is like that. Mm-hmm. They don't have the old Christmas music. You have to type in YouTube Christmas music from the 60s.
Yeah, Jingle Bells. I remember growing up, I heard Jingle Bells and
they don't want to use. They put a Christmas tree up in the second week in October, but they don't want you to mention Jesus' name. Now, I still believe in Jesus in a real way.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe some of the young people listening to me are trying to figure out, okay, let me tell you in your mind how I view Christmas. That God love human beings so much. I love the story. The story is embedded in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. It's such a beautiful story. That God loved us so much. And I remember when I was a kid, I was a nasty little kid. My mama would tell me to come. I'd run the other way. And so when I went to Sunday school and learned about good and bad, right and wrong, God and Jesus and the devil, I learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the verse that I remember when I was a kid. That is me adopting my God, my religion, my faith. I didn't need to hear all the theological thing. God so loved the world. And I thought about that as a kid. Everybody in the world. So when Christmas came, I remember asking my white teacher in school, because I was black, living in Watts, about this white man. I said, a white man don't come around here. And the Dutch lady told me, she said, of course not. But this Santa Claus is in every child's mind and will come and make him happy on December the 25th. Mm-hmm. Now, when December the 25th came, my mom and dad were making me happy, giving me the toys. She didn't lie to me. Now, what do they tell you Christmas is about? What they tell you?
Those undertones are still used when you
wait
watch
a minute.
TV. Hold on, listen to me, please.
Undertone, Jerry.
Okay. What am I talking about? I get on TV. I watch commercials. I see television ads. I see people talking about Santa and the colors Christmas and green, and I see people talking about Santa Claus. Like I said, my bad. And jingle bells and. Getting savings now. What I noticed is that the advertisement for Christmas from when I'm growing up to now is less about the morality of it, quote unquote, but more about the reality that those things cost money. So they're trying to convince you to get into this little celebratory experiences on some good deals. And that's what you see things are about, you know?
That's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What that is doing is making me think about past next cognac.
Really?
Because what are the words of that song? Now, I know the words of the song, but in time, the words of the song would disappear. And somebody would say, that's a fanciful melody. What is it? I've heard that somewhere before. Oh, girl, that's a Christmas song. We used to sing that in church. And then the person would say, oh, yeah, there was a 120-voice choir that sung that. Why is he playing that like that? See, that's what that kind of music made me do. Yeah. Because that was a sacred song for America. Now that song is no longer sacred. It's become some unplugged thing.
Yes, and we have to ask the question why. As a young all man right, growing right. up and being educated by my environment, the perspective why is because okay. that holiday happens to be synonymous with the same religion that, from my perspective, has been used to help me ignore a lot of pertinent realities about America.
Yes, and one of them is slavery. We would argue that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we would say.
I mean, that. In the history books nowadays, they tell the kids that slavery was a service. That almost tells
well, we don't want to change the subject matter.
No, but it's just giving fact to that how people and used to view America in this perfect okay. little box. That reality is changing.
Okay, now I understand. So therefore, my thoughts and feelings of Christmas, and that's why you notice sometimes, especially during this time of the year. I change. You will find my disposition changing, my attitude, because I'm thinking this time of the year about what gives me good vibes. Yeah.
Now, can I ask this? You had kids. You have kids, and
it don't make no difference whether I had kids or not. Okay. I have the spirit to want to be congenial, to want to see honesty. I don't have.
That's interesting.
During this time of the year. I don't like being around fraudulent.
It would be fraudulent to be around here and act like Christmas was what it was back when you was growing up. I think that we have made the efforts to be more honest as a people, and because of that, you don't hear Christmassy music. You know, some things cost.
What?
Something. Learn education costs. You know, what makes you feel comfortable in the past might not make you feel comfortable no more because you are educated on that.
Well, thing. I am educated, but why should the education take away the joy of the Yuletide season? I don't believe in Christmas trees.
No.
I don't believe in little angels. You know what I use as? I used to ask questions in Sunday school, how come all the angels are white? And how come they're white babies? How come the angels can't be black babies flying around? And I didn't get no answers. And I said, you know, something's wrong here. That's why when I became a Christian man, grown up, and I was going to church, I didn't go to church to have in my subconscious a white Jesus. If anybody goes to worship God with any picture frame of a human being's face in their head, yeah, color hair, and clothes they wear, that is an artificial image created by the atoms of your mind. I'm not talking about, oh, there's Jesus. Mommy, can I sit in Santa's lap? And I told my daughter, I'm not going to let you sit on that man's lap, because if he gets an erection, you know it, and I won't.
And to the idea, when you talk about mentioning Christianity and white Jesus, I think that, a lot of people, they jump onto the aspect of the whole white Jesus thing being about people not used to believing that Jesus was actually white and he's not white no more. No, it's not about that. In American reality, when people say that as well, it's giving allusion to, it's giving clarity to the idea that a lot of black people were not giving face to what a thriving community for us really looked like. So you have scholars coming in and they show, well, look what has been done to us. Look what history shows. Look where we came from. And look what has been done to us. And look what brought us here. Now, what can we do to get back to be thriving the way we used to thrive?
I admit it's a hard thing to break old traditions and things. And that's why I feel so melancholy during this time of the season.
Yeah, so
because I was
that,
one of those fathers.
Please let me finish to conclude the idea. That's what it means by being a black man as a Christian, but serving a white Jesus. You're serving a quote-unquote white community, the conquering community. Your vows and religious ideas allows you to be okay with being comfortable in the conquering community.
Conquering
community might not
I have
your
nothing
truth.
Against the white community or the way they do their religion. I have nothing against it.
No,
it was a beautiful story. The concept is wonderful.
You know what? I think it is too, because
for God so loved the world. I never saw God as a white man.
Hold on.
Why do you try to see? I think that's where the racism with you young people exist, and the white people are trying to say, what's wrong with these young black kids?
Because they're trying to castigate us and not truly listen to us.
If you allow me to explain myself before you try to identify myself,
I will let you know that
go ahead.
It's not about that, because I also know that I also enjoy the same Christianity the white man practice. It's not about the tool. It's about how the tool was used. And talking about the tool is allowing us to ignore how the tool was used towards us, and that is a very pertinent reality.
I'm not denying that slavery was a cruel taskmaster.
But don't pit me against the white man's religion, because truth be told, Christianity is not the white man religion. I know that Christianity comes from African precepts.
So do I. And so do millions of people around this globe.
Yeah, but I don't. We can't.
But
we
the
can't
ignorant,
take it.
All right, let me
we
put
can't
it,
take
let
the
me put it to you this way: the ignorant, uninformed community of the American people, of which I am a part.
Okay, and I hear that, but please, what pricked my soul was that I felt this pattern, and it reminds me of what a lot of people do when they don't agree with something. They take the idea of what they don't agree with it, and they want to cast it to the most ignorant perspective, when there might be validity to that which opposes your perspective. Don't just cascade and practice this cognitive dissonance where you just ignore it altogether. At least acknowledge the truth that's in it. You know,
most people, when the truth is put in front of them, like if I were a white person, I would be offended by the way you approach. Wait a minute, let me speak for my brothers. I would be offended by the way you approach the subject matter with rash assumptions that their religion was put together to subjugate you to harm's way.
Hold on, no.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. For the first red flags when he said rational assumptions. No, this is not coming from rational assumptions. Not everybody is just sitting around here flicking through the social networks and they just run with every idea that they get. People on a perspective opposing Christianity is not always going to be just not always the person that's being a follower following after new ideas. There are people who are on the opposing side of Christianity who've actually done their research and educated themselves. And that goes back to my example of saying people who would look at an idea from people that's contrary to theirs and they want to castigate them as the complete expression of ignorance. Now that's very prejudiced and it harms your ability to learn and perceive truth about reality as well. So, going back to that, no, we do not look at it that way. I'm not making no rational assumption about the white man's religion. I'm reading and I'm saying, okay, look at this archaeological facts. Look at this historical fact.
He
look
can't.
At this historical account. Why can't he?
Because he's in this region which he has conquered wrongfully. He raped, he took, he pillaged the land. You expect him to say that? We all know it.
I don't expect no one to say it.
The people of the land knows it. Wait a minute.
That's not true, honestly.
See, we can stop the oncoming war, man. We all just... That's why, because I know a hell of a lot of white people listen to this black man's webcast.
Mm-hmm.
White people listen to me.
Good for them.
And I know it's blacks listening, too.
Good for them, too. Good for all of them.
Now, there's a lot of people out there looking at you young... people.
Yes.
Wanting to know. It's Christmas time.
Okay, but listen to the bias.
Why do you?
Hold on, see that, and that's the problem. That's why a lot of young people like me.
This is called Silent Night.
Yeah, because everybody's trying to silent the night. They're trying to silent what goes on at nighttime. Listen, a lot of times in family spaces, you have the grandparents' views of life, the parents' views of life, the young kids' views of life. You have three different generations of perspectives going on in that house. And that has to be acknowledged. And rather than trying to dismiss the voice of the younger generations, you know, and try to cast them all as crazy, what if they do have some validity to what they're talking about? What's so wrong about giving an ear and challenging their mind to help them understand, not castigate them off as feeling
nothing
stupid?
Nothing is wrong with that, but the adults of this day and age believe in a patriarchal society where the children, if they are decent human beings reared in a collective society of civilized human beings, listen to their parents and adults and to authority, your
now,
generation.
And that's beautiful
see,
to think, but to reality think. Shows
oh
me, reality shows me there are all different kinds of people with all different kinds of perspectives living in America, and that did not just happen overnight. Now you gotta ask yourself, what has happened to cause that sense of awareness amongst the younger generations of people opposed to the older generations of people? See, we can't always think that we perfect and nothing wrong has happened to us. We all got lied to. We all been confused.
All right.
And we all trying to learn.
All right. Now, that's where this season is very touchy to me, because since all of this is happening and America seemed to be tearing her ass apart by the blues and the reds and the ups and the downs and the whites and the blacks, this particular season was a time when all of us humanoids could get down, get in a circle, and hold hands and say, man,
and that's,
fuck it.
And that's,
let's love each other.
And that's beautiful. Man, but reality
man,
is,
I am tired of all this division.
That's beautiful. But what reality is, when you go around your family and you being real about who you are, and they not,
look,
no matter how much
can,
I want to, listen to me, let me finish.
No.
No matter how much you want to talk about family,
wait.
If it ain't real, you ain't sticking with it. It
wait
just
a
don't
minute,
work.
Man,
people
wait a
get
minute.
Around each other. No, come
wait
on, man. Let's
minute.
Be 100. Let's be real.
You
people
must
get around,
have come up in a dysfunctional family. No, because I don't
everybody
know
don't come
about.
Up. There's too many messed up people in the world to be talking about everybody came from a functional family. That's not the majority. That's not the reality.
Well,
so for you to even try to perpetuate these ideas coming from your privilege upon us and call us crazy. That's ignorant as well, because you're ignoring a very
plain reality. I'm not ignoring it. I don't care about
it. Okay. Well, B, don't expect other people to get on your bandwagon because you don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying about the white people.
Follow after
the white people don't care about you. Don't expect
what's beautiful about America? What's beautiful about America?
The white people to get on your bandwagon.
White people, I love you.
Listen.
I love you. I love. Listen to me. I am not prejudiced. I am not racist. But I am not going to sit here and play la 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 at the price of my awareness about who I am. Now that doesn't mean that awareness of me. No, can I finish? That doesn't mean that. Why I can't finish my argument?
Let me speak in defense of white men.
No, I'm not. No, because you think that I'm trying to be offensive to the white man, and that's not the goal here. That's not the goal at all. Nobody's trying to offend the white man. People are just trying to get their share of equality and justice. That's all. Nobody hates the white. That's not what it's about. And that goes against the common reality about young black people or young Hispanics who are not getting with the program of how things were taught for us to proceed. That we these rebellious people that hate white people, and we denounce anything that makes any kind of rational sense in regards to family and life. That's not true. We're trying to figure out, why are we being lied to? Why are our loved ones walking around here acting like this lie is real? What is going on? Trying to make me seem like I'm crazy, trying to gaslight me. That's what's going on. We love y'all, but don't sit around here and play crazy with me. At least have the respect enough to be real with me. Because I can respect that and be kind to the person that'll be honest about things and sit here and act like things are all peaches and cream.
I would like to know why it is important for them to be real to you.
Because when people are transparent, that's just, I don't know
why
about.
Why are you saying that they're not transparent? Because they won't pay attention to your problems?
And that's funny that you say your problems, because if my grandparents told me that.
Now, you're getting into collective reasoning.
No.
I'm not into collective.
Well, you're not into collective reasoning, but that don't mean other people are not as well. Stop doing
Why
that.
Why should we care for the people that are into that? They can make a living.
Because
and
they
live.
Can be your family members coming over for Christmas dinner. And because you do that to them, they don't want to come around.
Because I went to them?
Because you treat them like that. You ignore them, you do that to them. If your grandparents come around, grandsons come around, they talk about collective bargaining, and you do that to them, that's why they're not coming around Christmas. Because shit, then you do that. You don't want to communicate
and
be transparent and talk to them.
I don't want to hear about the socialist agenda.
Okay, and then that's selfish, because those are your grandkids, and they're trying to make the world around them so they can make smart decisions when they get older. And when they come around and
you
want to play and ignore about the real world.
What do you think that socialist agenda does to poor old grandpa? It's killing him.
Okay, but grandpa don't say that. Grandpa don't say that. From your perspective, grandpa's saying, leave me alone, get out of my face, you a little child, go in there, make some food, hang out with your cousins, da 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 da. You know, I would appreciate, that's why I say transparency, that's the key, communication. We don't know how to communicate with each other nowadays, family. Mm. And we talk about being Christians. Come on now.
Ease up on him, don't
no,
be so hard on
I'm not being hard on you, I'm being real, I'm being transparent. Because if I don't do this, then that gives you room to make me seem crazy. Now I gotta be more aggressive. This is how it starts. They come over, they talking, you ignore them. Now they gotta become more aggressive. Now arguments are starting. Because you just want listen. You just want communicate. You just want take that time to be real with your loved one, the one that's gonna continue your seed. The one that's a part of your family, your blood.
Ooh, and don't let the person be gay, huh?
Okay. Okay.
They can really come down on you on that one, boy.
So,
okay, so yeah. See, because I said it at the beginning of the same when I did it. This season, I just find my little spots and I get into me.
Okay.
And because if I get sucked back into the fantasy now, most of the people that I hang with think like this young man. See, ladies and gentlemen, I had to get a new sleeper bed in my sleeping quarters. And the man that was putting the bed together said, I said, yeah, I needed this bed because darling, I gotta relax at night. This will be my first night going to sleep on this mattress. And because when I told the man that I was 75, he said, you don't look to be 75. I'm 44, and look at these wrinkles in my face. And I looked at him, and I kind of laughed. And I said, see, that's what Christmas is about to me. He's Vietnamese. I'm a black African who lives in North America.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's like Christmas. I didn't have to tip him, but I tipped him $20. Why? Because it's Christmas.
Okay, so this is what I gathered. You said that this is how people my age are thinking nowadays, and then you explain how they're thinking. So you telling me, because we talked about collective bargainism earlier. So she just talked about an idea that comes from a state of mind where you're not thinking about being connected to the community, because you're an elder now, you're not as involved in the community no more. You know, you don't want to be around what everybody's talking about, everybody got going on. You did your due diligence, you was a pastor, now you're doing your talk show. Well, I don't want to be involved in that. I want to be able to start to enjoy my life and define things for me as an individual, because I done been through it all. I deserve that now. And that's beautiful. You know, you're an elder. You did what you did to survive. You're in your own place. You got your own space, your own environment. You can do that. You can define things for yourself. But people who are being victimized by the cruelties and the injustice of the community, they don't have that luxury. They don't have that luxury.
You know, you're right. And I don't think about that much, because I see them as young people who are full of vitamins and energy and expectations. Yeah. When the society isn't going in the direction that it's really supposed to go, instead of me picking up a sign and marching and saying we shall overcome, I said, brother, that melanin is ripe and rich in you. Okay, and it's going to carry you to the next thing.
So now you just carried on another idea where you said, and I'm a highlighter, you said that, brother, you talk about the marching,
yes,
you know, protesting. Now, not every person on the quote-unquote side of the brother think that that is a intelligible way on how to move forward. Because I'm supposedly here playing the role of the young black conscious family member, and he's playing the role of the traditional elder black grandfather.
I'm trying to enjoy
it. All right, so I got it. So when a traditional elder black grandfather comes in the house, is in the house, and the young grandson, black conscious young brother, comes in the house, he's thinking that we all out here just protesting, thinking that we're going to do something, beat it to the man. That's not how people are thinking. That's not what it's all about. See, there, everything, what I've learned in life, because I used to be, there was one point in time when I got away from Christianity, and I tried to castigate the whole thing as just plain wrong. Now, when I matured and stop allowing my emotions to get in the way of me practicing cognitive reasoning, okay, and researching and educating myself about things, I learned that everything has a balance of good and evil in it. Everything, every institution, every church, every house, every person, there's some good in them and there's some evil in them. And that's reality. Now, you choose how you want to see that person. Do you want to see it as evil, or do you want to see it as good? Because is it going to help you, or is it going to harm you? And that's what you're doing. You know, and that, and when you allow that to cause you to create a world around yourself where you only love those who think the way you do, you know, you basically committed yourself to a lie. You're living in a lie.
You
and
see,
then you want to enforce that lie to others. That's very selfish.
I was just thinking, a utopian society will never exist, because we will always try to find the opposition.
Yes, and me being a perfect person will never exist, but I'm going to always wake up and strive to do my best to do better. Same mindset.
I don't know to what degree you weigh perfection, but
when that picture behind me on the wall when I'm at that microphone, when I was there in the prime, I was the best. That's not braggadocious. Okay.
But let me not use the word perfection. Let me say I want to get to a place where I can at least afford everything I need to provide for myself.
Oh, keep working, you'll get there.
It's not about that. I appreciate what you're saying, but let's stay on track. It's also about, because that's beautiful that he said that, because I was working at Home Depot, working a graveyard shift, and we was on the employee room, we were watching the news. And you know that the news channel, they said that statistics came out that the reason why so many car crashes are happening is because people are not getting enough sleep. And you know what their solution was? Give more rest. They don't consider the different financial crises that people are in, the different economic situations that people are in. People are really out here struggling.
Wait.
Not everybody that's struggling is a bad person trying to be a socialist, live off the government, trying to do welfare. All
right, you see, that's he's going to come in here, man. That's ridiculous.
No, come on, man. Listen. Let's be watching it. Why? And look what traditional grandpa did.
All right. No,
you sparked me with something. The young black man.
No, you sparked me to energy when you said that you're ridiculous.
I'm ridiculous.
These people are on the freeways, and they're not getting enough rest because they bit into the lie of the American dream that they can own a home. You can't, because the real estate markets. Wait a minute, people. I just got an advance loan on my reverse mortgage on my house. And guess what? It was for the exact amount of money that I paid for the house in 1974. Now, let me share something with you. I plan to pull money out this shack every 5 years. And it's gonna go higher and higher because they built a football stadium, maybe 2 miles from me. Do you think I'm concerned? Sure I am. I want to live till I'm 105.
Concerned with what? Do you think you're concerned?
Do you think that I'm concerned about a young, strong, strapping race of young black men like you? Huh. And your friend and your family, and I'm concerned that you won't make it?
Huh? No, I want to say that necessarily. I get your argument where you're driving the reality of working for what you want, you know,
yeah,
making a living for yourself.
And,
and that's very beautiful.
And I'm sure but that you're
more,
going
it's
to
more,
do that.
It's more to it than that. You know,
it is.
You know, it's about my sense of identity. It's about me being exposed to a different kind of environment where a different kind of reality defines. No, no, let me not say that. There was a study. No one is not privy to the reality of, you know, the state of our economy and how a lot of people have a perception that things are very expensive.
Ooh.
Now, I read an article where it says for people to that in order for people to really, you know, maintain a decent family household to take care of, you know, kids and each other and own a house and whatever, to have a decent conservative experience requires at least more than one income per person.
Well, of course.
You know, so I can't just get by on
we
just,
can, but that's not my fault.
But this is what happens. You know, if I was to take Christianity, the perspective, the way my grandparents do it,
uh-huh,
I'd be around here waking up every day, being appreciative and thankful for every little thing that has happened to me. And that's true. You know, I should have that emotional disposition because it creates an optimism about me and it helps me make healthier choices moving forward.
All right.
And I get that.
Okay.
But to subjugate that,
who subjugated it?
I'm just saying. The reason why I say subjugated because that reality tends to be used a lot to fight against a young man wanting to be conscious about the truth about how things are the way they are now.
Well, that's because a young man takes it that way, but no, it's
not. No, it goes like this. Me wanting to talk about things like this at the dinner table, and we sitting around, this is about Christ and the family, and you better enjoy your family. We're going to pray and thank God that we get to sit here. We don't want to hear about all that. Eat your food. Let's talk about things that don't really
matter. That's how you came up?
You know, and I don't believe, from my experience of talking
to people. Is that how you came up? Because I didn't come up that way.
Okay, then that's
great. I have never been around black people like that.
But that does not deny the fact that there are people that do feel that way.
Let me tell you something.
You know?
I have never come up around women.
That's your experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is why I am a conservative. You're a liberal when you come up under that kind of mentality.
So now, and now you call it liberalism. So you saying that me being educated about myself, my African American history, my role in the American historical account of things is liberalism?
I didn't say that.
That's basically what you're saying, because me having a conversation about pertinent things that I need to know about myself at the dinner table. You're saying that that's not important, that I should focus on Christ and the family, and you attributed that to conservatism. You attributed that to liberalism.
No.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say nothing about Christ. I would never say something.
When I said something, when I mentioned about Christ and the family. No, listen to me. Let me finish. No, because you're trying to do it again. You're trying to say your family.
Your family.
Your
it ain't mine.
I'm not the only one having this experience.
I ain't met too many like you.
But you, at the end of the time, you don't go out the house much. You said people your age are thinking, you don't go out the house much. Shouldn't people know that?
You mean people are...
Why would a person who don't talk to people in the world, they go to the grocery store...
These are dangerous people, you see, because they're going to go off one minute.
No, I mean... See, now transparency has become offensive. Just now, when he said that, he's letting me know that me being transparent about our lives in relation to how we view things is offensive. We're having a talk show about how to perceive reality and what's going on in the world. And you mean to tell me I can't talk about that?
Yeah, you can talk about it. You family.
Okay.
Reminds me of Christmas.
Okay.
People would come by the house. The argument would start.
But
oh,
it's, and I'm telling you, and going back to what I was saying earlier, the argument starts when we try to ignore each other and try to get into our egos and think the next person don't know nothing. Like I said, if you educate yourself around your environment, you're going to find good and evil in everything. In every experience in your life, there is something to take away and there's something to let go about it. So if you can practice that with yourself, why can't you practice that with your neighbor? Don't you love your neighbor as thyself? See, you have to be thorough. When you practice the word of God, it has to be thoroughly. You can't pick and choose when you want to practice it because it's comfortable for you. And that's what you know, a lot of us as young people tend to see in society, people doing what's comfortable for them at the expense of another person's necessities. And that's what's going on. Because it ended off peaches and cream. It wasn't always just Christmas and all the people just getting around. It wasn't always the white people coming over and the pilgrims, the Native Americans accepting them with open arms. And, you know, it all being a good, you know, happy go around. Glad you're over here. Get involved. So I would suggest transparency, but still practicing that unconditional love, that Christian love you talk about. Be able to bear another person's burdens, to endure them for the sake of your love for them. That's your family. Why can't you tarry on with them a little bit? Why can't you show them the love they need?
I tell you, some people are just mean around Christmas time. Family members come around and that's when everybody started laughing at it.
Yeah, but now when you say that, that sounds like justification. And well, that's a problem too, because you're taking the sensitivity
I'm
away.
I'm just saying, I mean, that's what they do.
That's what they do, but we don't know that. We don't know everybody in the world.
Is his salad coming?
And
oh,
I,
yeah.
And I won't play into that argument because I just sat here and had to defend myself from a prejudiced idea about how people like me take certain stances. That I'm some family denouncing lunatic that disregards community and, you know, sensible thinking, and that I want to protest and think I'm going to change the world by having some black identity power to the black people. I hate the white man. If you guys listen to the conversation and listen to all the accusations made towards my stance in the argument and how I had to defend myself from that. And then I'm going to turn around and go say they. That's that same kind of mental exercising being done again. That's called bias. That's called prejudiceness. That's how miscommunication happens. And we have to check ourselves before we want to check everybody else around us. Because maybe everybody else around us ain't as evil as you think.
You remind me of a young Stokely Carmichael because he used to talk like that. And I used to see the white people responding by saying that young nigger, he won't stop running his mouth, will he?
Hey, like I said, I love you. I don't know if you love me, but I love you. And I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to love you to the extent where, like I said earlier, where I'm smiling, la-la-la, in your face at the expense of my truth. That's disrespectful. That's a lack of dignity and integrity for myself. Why do you want me to stoop that low where I can't even be real about myself? You want me to come around the family and lie? You got your gay child. You want them to come around there and lie to y'all. They don't feel validated. They don't even feel realistic. They're completely ignored.
Right.
Because you can't, in your mind, you have been educated and taught to completely disregard them. And then you send them out into the world. And they become hurt people. And you looking at them like, oh, it's because they gay. No, it's because how you treated them.
We wish you a Merry Christmas too. My goodness.
Merry Christmas. And I still love you. But let's not be afraid to talk. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, it seemed like when you said that last statement, let's not be afraid to talk, that you were aiming that at somebody. I mean, it just sounded like it.
Oh, because I sound like some thug. Is that what it is?
No.
Why couldn't that be taken?
Like that was a personal... That's what you said to somebody before.
Really?
No.
Well, let me clarify. Like, let me clarify who I am. I was saying that from the perspective of, let's love each other, but not be afraid to talk. I've had to practice that with my own family members where they want to play around the bush and lie. And I say, you know, I love you, but I'm not going to stand for that. I'm not going to stand for false things. You're not going to sit here and talk about my grandma and I take accountability for what you've done to her. You're not going to sit here and talk about so-and-so and I take accountability for the log in your eye.
Ooh.
I love you.
Have you ever told these people that?
To talk.
You need to tell those people because I'm going to tell you, I never heard what they have to say.
When you practice what you preach, you will have stories to tell.
When they cast the gay, that's good. When they cast the gay fantasy and storytells on me, I just laughed and walked away.
Yeah, but can I offer another transparency?
Go ahead.
You shared with me that you don't deal with that side of the family at all.
No, I laughed and walked away.
Okay.
Because I said, what am I doing with that kind of cohesiveness to insanity? I would never get ahead.
See, I've never looked at that. I see my cousins in them situations, and yes, they can come off pretty insanity. You know, they are the byproduct of their experiences.
Oh my God!
But one thing I learned about God and healing, because God had to heal me from some insanities. When I started going within myself and praying and started dealing with these things, I learned that I was hurt. I was in pain. There were some things that I needed to be talked about and made aware of that was not being talked about, that was so suppressed. And I never had the opportunity to look into that. Now imagine if I just called myself crazy. Something wrong with me. I'm guilty. I'm evil. Nothing good can come from me. I'm purely evil. Man is evil. Nothing good can come from me. Wow. But when I internalize the belief of God's love for me, And I practiced that on myself. And I said, okay, God loves me. I'm going to believe that. Okay, God, reveal to me this love. There was a kind of energy that came into me.
All of us had to go through that
pain. Okay, so loving me turned into me allowing that kind of energy to allow God. I had to learn how to allow God to love me. Now that was a very important step right there. Now because I've done that, it has taught me how to have compassion on people that do not think like me and act the way I do.
Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down because I'm not intense. I'm just talking. I know the words.
Your body.
I know. Oh, come on. No, not my body.
I said, calm down. You're shaking this. Yeah.
Oh, come on now. You guys, I know my words may be very powerful, and what I'm saying, it may be hitting your soul, and it may act you all nervous, but I'm not, I'm calm. I'm very calm. I'm just being 100, okay? That's what we do in our community. We be real about it. Where I come from, we be real. You know, and it's all love. That's why I say, go back to play. I love you, but let's talk. We talking. Okay, don't get hurt. I love you. I'm not talking to hurt you. I'm talking so we can communicate and get an understanding.
They hate what they see, man.
No, and see, there we go.
They hate what they see.
Another castigation. We hate what we see.
No, I'm not talking about you.
I just sat here and talked.
I'm talking about the person that would listen to you and disagrees with you.
Okay.
They would just hate what they see.
Okay, well, all I've been doing this whole conversation, y'all, is trying to give light to us, to the stance of a person who's not going to play into, you know, the traditionality of Christianity and the kind of perspectives they receive from the opposing side, which are those who take on traditional Christian perspectives.
Okay.
That's all I did. I didn't, if that came to the summation of the person just hating what they see, then wow.
See how they keep playing the same? Yeah, I mean, that's what they've done.
He's this black Christmas and I'm season, black. I don't know what's to hate.
This is what?
He's black and I'm black. I don't know what's to hate. Why you hate what he see?
Well.
Like I said, I love you. Let's talk.
It is far deeper than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's, and you know, in
I
Christianity.
I think that a lot of people have been hurt. And during this time, you know, I recall when I was a young pastor, these priests would come on TV, it's this time of year we suffer more because our families are not, and all that kind of bull. And I said, no. I mean, this time of the year was a happy time of the year for me because during that time of the year, I thought everybody was realer than I have ever seen them real before.
And some families are not.
People took the mask off somewhat.
Yeah.
But race relations and things like that, no. I am the child of a slave. And the whites, if they were not slaves brought over here, were the child of the slave owner. And those ideas, those traits, the DNA of life, so to say, is there. And that, I believe, and I'm being... What would you call me? A practicalist, I guess you can call me. That people are going to forever be like that. Wait a minute, let me finish. You talk quite a long span there. And I got 2 minutes before the show ends. Well, I do not give way.
Word from AOS Alert Manager.
Oh,
this Mac can connect to iPhone.
It's not going
to
stop it.
Well, let's finish it up. Let's continue what you were saying. Because I would like to defend myself too at the end before you just cut it off. You defend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and I think that everybody has their own DNA, and that DNA is going to remain the same.
And
I'm going to let you end up. That DNA is going to remain the same. And when I said calm down, that's why I said it. Because when we both lay our heads down in the grave, this bush is still going to be going on forever and ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Amongst humans.
You have a luxury of saying that because you don't have to worry about trying to survive now. You don't survive through it. So now I'm facing different tactics that I gotta go through. And it doesn't allow me the luxury of bringing that kind of mentalist or practicalist like you defined it. Where I can just do things like that. You know, if I don't think smart about my situation, I can end up in a very hard hole. I'm a young black man going to college, trying to do part-time jobs. I got years, and it looks like to me the homeless rate, every time I look up, the homeless rate is increasing in LA. You know, chances are looking very slim for me.
Yeah, I know.
And this is cause, and you want me to go around and play the ignore game on Christmas Day? You know, it's getting real for me out here. I don't know about you.
Ooh.
But certain bills might not get paid. I might not be able to raise a family and have a decent, you know, experience of life. And then I get on Instagram and I look at people who are benefiting from old money and benefiting from certain privileges that have been
that's
had.
That's what.
And they don't have to go and deal with the sufferings that I go through. They don't have to deal with
that's
that.
What.
But I'm busting
the
my
other
butt.
Young man was arguing with me about the other day. And I told him, I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I can't care.
But if I didn't care, that's me saying, you know, me acting out, I don't care right now in 2019 going on 2020. Your young black college student in LA, me not caring and saying, okay, let me go get me a decent job and try to make it day by day because I know I need some money and I'm broke and I need to make sure I'm able to take care of myself. No, yes. I can't do that. I can't do that because jobs are, and the ratio between job and me getting some housing, that's not realistic. I need
I
to make sure I get a STEM degree so that I can get into some finance. See what I'm saying? I have to think more.
But you know what I'm saying? Now, this is where this part of the season comes in with me. Because in this part of the season, he says, calm down. I got you. I want to bring you perfect peace.
Well, God's been bringing me perfect peace. I have perfect peace. I don't need a holiday.
Like it.
I know.
The holiday is a time.
I'm not acting, y'all. I don't act. I'm not acting. I'm not in a movie. I'm not nobody's TV show. I'm not acting. I'm a human being.
And
I don't change.
We're going to have to cut this short because he's in there and we got to go and do some of this stuff.
You want people to ignore the fact that they're you human beings and play robots, basically. Like, we're trying to create robots to look like. No, people are never going to be robots. They're always going to be human. That's how God made us.
Well, you can be anything but human. We know that.
Okay, but don't try to make us robots. Don't try to teach us to do things that humans don't do, like educate themselves, think deeply about things, reflect, exercise reason, critical, analytical thinking skills. These are what human beings do. Why are you trying to hinder this? What is this thing about in America? Or what kind of this, I don't know, it's something in the air, y'all. It's something in the air. People don't want us to think. People don't want us to be transparent and be real and deal with the facts. They got so desperate to get us away from that they're trying to tell y'all to enjoy your opinion but stay in your own world. They, for some reason, we can never get to a place to achieve what real communication achieves. And that's love, but talking about it. I love y'all, but let's talk.
I guess he just had his own little talk show right here.
I guess so.
What happens
when you're transparent? I mean, you can flow like that.
And then family times becomes more fun.
It comes more easy to be around everybody because everybody ain't trying to hide themselves.
I just leave the studio door open.
Your creative juices is being drained because you're trying to hide yourself instead of using the creative juices to actually enjoy sharing life.
No, there was a major
really talk about it, y'all.
In my community tonight. But I did not attend it because of the cold. The cold goes right through my chest, people. And thank God the gas bill is not that high here. But I have to keep my body warm. And I'm excited. I got this new bed. And so tonight when I go to bed, I just want to just snuggle up. It's wonderful. I haven't had a good sleep on a good mattress in a long time. But the futon brought me through keeping my body in a certain position after the heart attack. So this is the season to be jolly. I'm grateful to God that the healing of my body has taken, you know, it's testimony time. Yeah, I think I'll end up with that. I'm grateful that God has healed my body.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that he did that because that is very important too. You know, just because you can be grateful, mm-hmm. don't mean that you have to be content. is going in our environment, black people, we see there's not a lot of men in our community, from my generation, we don't see a lot of men exemplifying, you know, what a black man looks like, a black role model. So we have an ask of what does integrity and dignity look like for us? How do we respect ourselves?
Yeah.
And that's important because that has to do with a sense of identity and your role in the community. Is it respectful and integral of myself to operate in a space of mind where I don't be think about my history and where I came from, but I enjoy everything that's given to me? Think about that. Is that respectful to me? Don't I owe myself a little more than that? And it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. You know, you don't have to know about who you are.
You know, this is weird. If your initials are TS and you're listening to this, you know that right here is where you should be right now, because that's you when you were his age. Thank you for coming to my website today. Thank you to my mystery guest. No, Emmanuel's not a mystery guest. Emmanuel is the young voice. This is the voice that you hear from time to time popping in.
And so I'm the one keeping John on his toes. He gets around here and he scolds me and I talk to him. And he stays sharp.
Yeah,
the reason why this man gets on here and he puts these beautiful ideas together and he says them is because he's practicing on me. Yeah, that's who I am.
Well, I'm just a student. I just want to see the way a young person grows up in this world, because I'm telling you, in the purest of the Christian, I am still a Christian and greatly influenced by, quote unquote, the white man's religion. I will never follow a swami of any color or any degree. No. And if you want to know what a swami is, see the movie Ganga Din, and there was a crazy man that was in charge of these lunatics that believed in cutting people's hearts out, and he spoke like a swami.
I never understood, you know, growing up, why my religious beliefs had to cause me to ignore, you know, my history and the culture that I come from.
I
never understood that.
No, it didn't.
I never understood that, because that's how it was fed to me.
Well, that's,
you know, I grew up and my dad was a pastor.
People.
I'm a young people. Man living in LA. I grew up all over the West Side. Yeah. I know those were ignorant people.
Ignorant.
But guess what? I went to a mega church and there's a whole lot of that tells me that there's a whole lot of people like that walking around in my community.
They prey on you.
Okay,
pray on your limited capacity to understand.
We gotta be real.
Average pastor that pastors one of those churches today preys on the person that is too ignorant to understand the game
I'm not talking about what is right. I'm not talking about what should have happened. I'm talking about what did happen. Shoulda, coulda, woulda did not stop what actually happened. You say your kids come to you and you say, why they didn't do this, I do that. And they told them they should have did this and that, should have that. You looking at them like shoulda, coulda, woulda. Okay? Just like that.
All right, I got to go. They're playing Auld Lang Syne for the fifth time since I've done this webcast. Thank you for being so, how can I say it? Thank you for being so attentive. God bless.